그걸 해줄까?
이것도 yesterday. Again, we try to develop this question about is there a requirement for a Beis Din at any and every get? So our initial reaction was absolutely not. You know, Mesechus Gittin, 90% of Mesechus Gittin, and nowhere does the Mishnah, the Raisas, the Gemara say that, at least explicitly, that every single get requires a Beis Din. However, there are a few cases, sort of like went through the cracks, that do discuss a Beis Din present at a get. But they seem to be the unique cases. The two unique cases, one where our students have started this in the first place. Our Gemara in the Pei speaks about a get that's brought from Chutzlar, which necessitates a Fani Nechtam, Fani Nechtam. So then, for sure, you require a Beis Din. And that we understood. Eidos, that kind of stuff. We got that. That's one Gemara that talks about a Beis Din necessary. The other Gemara was a Gemara tucked away at the very end of the Sefer Gittin, which talks about a person being forced to give a get. So that we also began to understand force, kfiya, ela mishpat, which I'm not even able to buy as well. So we have 90 blot where of no mention of a regular standard average everyday get requiring a Beis Din. Two Gemaras that talk about Beis Din, but those two Gemaras are probably the exceptions to the rule rather than the rule proper. We had that little bit of a funny Rashi in Masechah Zanedrin. The Rashi says, why does Miun, when the little girl comes to Beis Din and she says that she doesn't want to remain married to this person who was never really her husband anyway in the Torah? So it has to be done in the presence of a Beis Din. Rashi says, oh, following the patterns of deraisa, it's called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein deraisa Tikkun. So that lets some to say, Truma the Rabbi Huda, etc. Oh, Rashi's committing himself to the idea that a Beis Din is necessary for a get. So other Chachamim said, that's not Rashi meant. Rashi meant, Miun is similar to a get of kfiya, because a get of kfiya is not against the will of the husband. So to Miun is not against the will of the quote unquote husband. That kind of a process requires Beis Din. But a regular standard get, we don't have any rights. We have three examples of a Beis Din by get. None of them shed any light on the question of does a regular get requirements. So what is the answer? This is, in fact, not a great surprise, a major machlokes in the Rishonim. So probably most of the Rishonim of the opinion that you have to prove to me that a get needs a Beis Din. There's no Gemara anywhere that says it. All three of these rishonim are talking about the unique, special case of getting the regular get does not need a Beis Din. We're going to call that the view of the silent majority. All the Rishonim don't say you do, by default position, probably hold it. You don't. It's probably it's a Rabbah, probably it's a Rifash, it's a Rosh, it's a Shulchan Aruch. Anyone who is not requiring, who is not outright telling you that you require a Beis Din, is most probably assuming that you don't. Nevertheless, there was a view in Rishonim, most probably a minority view in Rishonim, that said no, that it is true that a Beis Din is necessary for any and every single get. These are not the exceptions. This is actually the rule. However, even Aniach, that this is true, if you want to go down that route of Rishonim for a moment, that a Beis Din is necessary for a get, We have to ask ourselves a further question, based on what? What is it about a get that would lead us to believe that it should require a beis din? Now again, the Rif and the Rambam and the Rush and the solid majority of the Rishonim, they're going to daven Shachar 6:30, but they're done for today. They say there is no reason to require a beis din. Again, that's why, in fact, it doesn't need one. But within the view of the Rishonim, we'll disagree. Maybe Rashi according to some, definitely a group of other Rishonim according to others. What, if any, is the reason that should compel us to believe that a beis din should be necessary? So here we have a further breakdown in Rishonim, assuming that a beis din is necessary for any and every standard get, what could possibly be the rationale? So we have a major machlekes of Rishonim. It is found in the third of the Ravakamos. It is a very, very, very long machor. It is an Or Zaruah. We're going to, I can't even say that we're going to read it inside. Let's just kind of, literally one or two lines. Let's pick up the third of the Ramakamos, the end of the first section of bold, bold words. It's the third of the last of those lines. Hachinami, first one was Chibasa. The Or Zeruah is quoting from a Rivan. Rivan was one of the early Bali Atos, one of the sons-in-laws of Rashi. Hachinami Yeshli Lomar, the Pligi Bivisina Saget, the Al Yado. Govak subasa, kibisnano, see again the enemy of subasa, govak subasa. Rivan makes reference to a sugya in Maseches Yevamos that speaks about whether chalitza requires a beizin, what the nature of the din that chalitza requires a beizin is. And the Rivan understands that what is it about chalitza that requires a beizin? As Rivan will tell you, because chalitza has thousand cents connected to it. Because as long as the woman has not yet done chalitza, she's not collecting her ksuba. The marriage is not really totally over. I mean, it's over in the sense her husband died, but since she's still potentially waiting for the idum chalitza from one of the brothers, she's not yet fit to receive her ksuba. The minute that she does chalitza, then she can come to the base and collect the ksuba. So the Gemara has the possibility, at least by the Rivan learned Shadi Gemara, that chalitza requires a base then, not because chalitza proper requires base then, but because chalitza is linked to dinim amunos, because chalitza precipitates a collection of dinim amunos, therefore the chalitza itself is elevated to the status of dinim amunos. So the Rivan borrows that idea that some Rishonim say doesn't exist by chalitza. We'll have to get to that a little later. But the Rivan borrows that idea, plugs it into get as well. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense by get also, that after a woman gets a get, she's going to collect her ksuba. So therefore, a get and a ksuba are really linked together. They're almost like one process. So it's get slash gvias ksuba. So just as the ksuba has to be done in the presence of a beis din, so too, the get has to be administered in the presence of a beis din as well. So the question is understanding the Rivan, even though every single get under the sun requires a beis din, it's not because gittin shibbo that makes it require a beis din. There's nothing about a get prop. A get is not a din Torah. A get is just a halachic procedure. A get is like a person goes to the mikvah, you know, it's going to beis din. Person washes and fills it out. Person puts on tefillin. You don't have to do these things in the presence of beis din. So a person gets a get. There's no only beis din. Doesn't have a role in the get process per se. This is not for elam mishpatim. But since get is linked to mamonos, like chalitz is linked to mamonos, therefore the entire get process is transformed into a, in a sense, a din of mamonos b'shlosha. That's how the Rivan learns from.
When a man dies and a woman becomes an almohada, how does she collect ksuba? She has to go to bed and collect
ksuba. Well, yeah, I mean, if the yashim are nice and they want to just pay off the ksuba, that's great. But then he says something that's going to be amazing. Yeah, of course.
But in under normal circumstances, for that payout to happen,
it doesn't. Right. I mean, nothing has. If I go to the store and I buy potatoes, we don't have to buy in the presence of a basin. But if we get into a fight as to whether I bought or I didn't, whether I paid or not, that's the end of the basin. So comes the Azarua. I think he's really being mechav and also to the Azarua's point. The Azarua, let's pick it up on the end of the third of end of the third of Mam Kamos, the beginning of the bold lines, the second of those lines. Shani Omer, the Azarua himself, argues with Rivan. The had the pligli the chalitza. That was the Gemara has a whole discussion about the role of beis in chalitza. La mitan ksuba, that has nothing to do with the ksuba per se. For our purpose, that's all we need right now. You, Rivan, said your model to extend the beis din by a get is based on the model of chalitza. And just as you learned that chalitza is based on the mamonos, so to get is based on the mamonos. says the Ozerua to the Rivan, your entire model is not correct. That is not the reason why you need a Beis Din for Chalitza either. What does that have to do with the Ksuba? So they're in the middle of the whole discussion. So the Ozerua basically attacks the Rivan and says, wait, I don't understand. A get or a Chalitza needs a Beis Din because of the Mamonas? Do the get, do the Chalitza. If we have a fight about the Mamonas, we'll bring a Beis Din at that point. Which is the fact that David's really saying that the requirement for a get for the ksuba is a technicality. It's not something which is objectively necessary. We don't intrinsically require a Beis Din for a gvirus like ksuba. If the yorshim want to pay off the ksuba, they'll pay off the ksuba. They don't want to pay the ksuba, they won't pay off the ksuba, they will come to Beis Din. The husband divorces, or he wants to be a nice guy and pay the ksuba and shrine, so I'll pay the ksuba. If he wants to put up his things, so then we'll take him to Beis Din. We'll figure out what to do. What does it have to do with the get itself? What does it have to do with the chalitza proper? So therefore, the Ozerua says that if you tell me that a chalitza requires a Beis Din, which in fact the Gemara says it does, or if you want to extend that a get requires a Beis Din, like the Ozerua himself happens to hold, the requirement for such a Beis Din is not tangentially because of the ksuba connected to it. Rather, it is intrinsic. It is something which is based on the very essence of a get. A get is part of the Elam Mishpatim. Don't think that a get is not a din Torah. A get is a din Torah per se. It is din imamunas b'shloisha, and therefore it requires a Beis Din because the very essence of the divorce proper is a mishpatik din. This is not like eating kosher. It's not like chil Shabbos. There is a sichsuch here. There's a husband, there's a wife, there are parties, there are players, there's give and there's take. And therefore, that lends itself to a Beis Din model, nothing at all to do with the ksuba. So we really have now three shittas in Rishonim, what our take is about the requirement, lack thereof, of a Beis Din for a regular standard get. We have what we call the silent majority view, probably view of most of the Rishonim. There never was a requirement of a Beis Din. The only Gemaras that talk about Beis Din are the unique, strange case of Pia, and Farinechtav, etc. But regular standard get never ever did require Beis Din. Then you have within the Rishon who say that a Beis Din is necessary. You have a further breakdown between the Rivan and the Ozerua, what that requirement of Beis Din is based on. Is it a function of the connection to the Ksuba, the tangential reason, or is it something intrinsic about a get proper? So this Machlekes that we showed him why a Beis Din should be needed, if it's needed, now becomes critical in terms of understanding our Gemaras. And now let's circle all the way back to the beginning of the first Gemara Mekomos, where we started off yesterday, which is how we got into the sugya in the first place. So the Gemara, the first Gemara Mekomos, Gittin Afemud Beis, wakes up in the middle of the intricacies of the sugya before the Nechtam, before the Nechtam, Itmar Bifnei Kaba Nosto La, in front of how many people must a get be given. Now, that was not a correct statement. It must a get be given. It must the get be given. The get of a Fari Nechtav. How many people have to be present? At which the Gemara goes on, if you need three separate dayanim, you need two dayanim in the shliach can serve two hats. You need the shliach and the third dayan. That's a very, very technical issue. How many dayanim are necessary? But it is clear as day that when the Gemara poses the question, if they come and host the law, that the Gemara is talking about this case. If the Gemara meant if they come and know that every get under the sun, then this should have appeared, and a Mishnah should have appeared on a, not in the confusing intricacies of a Fari Nechtav. It should have said somewhere, Kol get boit tzorich bezin, tzorich bezin, itma, if they come have a bezin, something like that. What is the Gemara talking about? Why is the Gemara ask the question in a unique case? So this Gemara led the silent majority to conclude that, you know why the Gemara doesn't ask the question throughout the Masechta? Because it doesn't exist, because it's not true, because there is no other requirement with Beis Din Nosto La. But according to the Rivan and according to the Ozerua, isn't this a very, very misleading kind of a question? With Beis Din Nosto La, isn't it obvious? With Beis Din Nosto La, every cat requires a Beis Din. What are you asking the question? So the Rivan, who said that the requirement of a Beis Din for get is not intrinsic to the get proper, but it's only because of the ksuba that's attached, could perhaps almost like maneuver out of this question. So then Lady Behuda has a long, long tshuva about this topic. It's a fascinating halachic slash historic tshuva that Lady Behuda, because he discusses the back and forth in terms of the Beis Din and get given by night, and do you need a Beis Din, don't you need a Beis Din? And he quotes the Ozerua, but he didn't have an Ozerua inside because the Ozerua actually was out of print. It was the manuscript was lost for hundreds and hundreds of years. Because the rule was written by Rabbi Yitzchak Miviyeman. He was one of the Gedolei Rishonim at the end of the Balatosus. He was one of the Rabbeim of the Maharam in Rutenberg. So we're talking about really one of the great Gedolei Olam of the Chachmei Ashkenaz at the end of the Balatosus. And the Ozer Ruah wrote this tremendous sefer, and it was lost. In his day, a few generations after, they had access to it. So it was quoted constantly, and then for hundreds of years, it was lost in the Vatican. It was lost in some museum somewhere. The later Rishonim and the Achronim did not have access to the Ozer Ruah, so they had snips of the Ozer Ruah. They had quotations of the Ozer Ruah. So they tried to reconstruct what the Ozer Ruah said. So the Rebbe Yehuda sitting in Prague in the 1700s. Trying to figure out what in the world the Ozer Ruah said. We have this 30-page discussion of the Ozer Ruah. We read about 3.5 lines put together from other Rishonim that were quoted here. So he's guessing what the Ozer Ruah most probably said. Unfortunately, when they actually discovered the Ozer Ruah manuscript, they realized that some of the things the Ozer was guessing were not correct, were not what the Ozer Ruah actually said. Some of them wasn't. Again, you can't like Marjudin, it was a Gedolah of Shesha Gainim, but Lamais, he didn't have the sefer. That's what Mishnah Berurah points us out at other places, that every once in a while you find like an Acharon saying some Shnichel Torah in Ozer Ruah, and the Mishnah Berurah read it in the days of the Chofetz Chaim, the end of the 1800s, they already had the manuscript. So the Chofetz Chaim writes in Mishnah Berurah, he writes that the Achash Shez Achinu L'Diver Ozer Ruah, Ra'inu Befrim, that this is the correct shot. So again, Kachi Darka Shaltok, Kish Baruch Hu, for whatever reason, had the manuscript, the Xaviyad was hidden for a couple hundred years. So in the middle of the Tshuva, the Nei Yehuda, so he has a possibility, which appears part of it in the Ozer Ruah, actually, with the following suggestion, that if you go down the route of the Rivan, that the requirement of Bezer is not an absolute link intrinsically to the get process proper, but it's just because of the tangential problem of the Tshuva, what would the din be if you have a get where there's no ksuba attached to it? Who's getting divorced without a ksuba? Doesn't every divorce necessitate a ksuba? No. What if the woman was never a nisuin in the first place? We know that there are two stages of marriage. There's the erusin and there's the nisuin. The erusin is synonymous with the kedushin. So in the olden days, the kedushin, the erusin was done. Then the girl went back to her father's house. The chassid went back to his parents' house. And they start to make wedding preparations. Those wedding preparations could take 6 months, could take 10 months, could take up to a year, could take longer. There is no halacha how long that break has to be. It has to be two processes. That is halacha. That's a dimin haTorah. You require kedushin, and then you need the nisuin. And there are halachas that govern that small window of time between the kedushin and the nisuin. So midaraisi you require both, but there is no halacha, never was a halacha, and I'm going to turn up and about how long that break has to be. It was customary in the days of Chazal to have approximately a year of a break. So the term Eirusin in modern Hebrew, Eirusin means engagement. That's not what it means in halacha. In halacha means she's mekudeshes. And if for whatever reason they want to break up that marriage, then they would require a get. So she's a Eishes Ish, what we call Shaloba Beis Baila. They're not living together yet, and many of the halachas of the Suin don't kick in. Say as far as the Darim recently are different, and there would be no Yerusha. Let's say everyone would die at that point, he wouldn't be Yerushar. The couple are not permitted to be together until they undergo the Nisuin. So there's a whole series of halachas that depend upon the Nisuin to take place at a later point. The reason why we're not so familiar with this concept is because Bizman Hazeh, we lump it all to one. In the days of Chazal, there was a year break, and Bizman Hazeh, there's about a 30-second break, if that long. We do the Kedushin, and they're right under the Chuppah right away, and then Lamais, they go to the Yichud room, and Shoy. And they go straight from being conditioned to being Nisuin. What necessitated, what precipitated that change? Very, very simple. It had to do with the Crusades. We shed it right. And in the days of the Crusades, so it was very dangerous. You're going to have a girl who's quote unquote married, and she's living in another town from her husband. And then there's going to be a crusade in this town. Now he's going to run, she's going to run, but no one's going to know who anybody is. It was just too dangerous to have Ashes Ishes running around, weren't under the protection, and weren't together with the husbands. So therefore, in the days of Rashi, the days of the first Crusades, so they changed the process, and they said that we're going to lump them all together into one just to make sure that every married woman is together with a husband. We don't have these problems of separation between the husbands and the wives.
Is the Sephardic custom different?
No, I think they bought into this also. Yeah, I think they thought it was probably a good idea also. So I'm not sure what changed the practice. It's funny because in the Ashkenazi communities, so this is what they do. So it's interesting that Rashi poses a challenge. Rashi writes that now that we've changed the custom, we have a little bit of a problem. The problem is that you're supposed to recite a Bar Priya Gofen during the time of the Eirusin, the Birchas Eirusin. Then he's supposed to recite another bar prayer at the time of the Sheva Brachas, which is the Nesuit. So in the olden days, it was a year break, so that's enough for Hefsek Bilchus Brachas. But it's not a Zed, that's a 10-second break, so then how can you make a second Bracha? There's a Shalom Bilchus Brachas. So Rashi had to come up with some kind of creative solution how to create a Hefsek. So we could have theoretically told everybody to walk outside and go back to the Shmuel. You come back in 20 minutes, and we could have done that. So Rashi came up with another idea. The Shmuel wasn't so great in France in the 1000s. So Rashi came up with another idea. Let's make an artificial Hefsek. We'll get somebody to stand up and to read something under the chuppah. What are we going to read? The ksuba, that's sitting around. Why not read that? There's no halacha to read the ksuba. There's no requirement. People think it's the greatest keep it under the sun. It's not the greatest keep it under the sun. It's worthless. It's meaningless. You don't read it. You're still married. So Rashi instituted the days. Rashi instituted it to waste time. The goal of reading, I didn't say writing the ksuba. Writing the ksuba is a din. Reading the ksuba under the chuppah was there for one reason alone, to waste time. That was it. So some rabbanim were very machmir. They want to make sure that the wasting of time is the holidays. They give it to Russia also for 20 minutes under the chuppah, just to be yet mahajim and mahajim. But the end of the ksuba, reading the ksuba is good enough to waste the time. I guess a new chumash, I read the ksuba very very slowly. Make sure it's really so usually I read the ksuba. I don't like to read it slow. People bored. Most people don't know what it means. On the other hand, I don't want to read it so fast. Consider it to be a very emotional moment. So I try to read it at a normal pace. The only time I read the ksuba, I read like I said, was I was once reading the ksuba in Montreal at a chasna, and it was the middle of January, and they were marked with the avitachas at Shemayim. So everyone else was standing, was inside, and they had like an outside part where the chuppah was. It was literally mamash outside, and I didn't know that I was going to be called up to read the ksuba. I was sitting inside the hotel lobby because it was so freezing by the chasna, and somebody came, my father-in-law came to run and tell me, get in there, they just called you up to read the ksuba. And everyone else was sitting with a coat. I didn't have a coat because I was indoors. So I ran up to about 30 below to read the ksuba. So that ksuba, I finished it faster than that. So anyway, back to the story. So we have an arusa, we have an asua. An arusa, in theory, if the marriage breaks up, she needs a get. Midaraisa, she's an HZ, so she requires a get. But there will be no din to earn any ksuba. You know why? Because there is no ksuba for an arusa. Ksuba only kicks in after nisuin. So when you have a get given for a regular woman who's been married for 20 years, now a get is given, so that's a get which requires a ksuba, which will necessitate a beis din according to the Rivan. But if you have a get that's breaking up an erusin, so the erusin didn't require ksuba in the first place. If there's no ksuba, then there's no beis din. So in theory, according to the Rivan, I don't want to say half the marriages, I mean, the odds are most erusins are probably not breaking up with a get, but there are quite a few erusins, kedushins, that require a get min haTorah and don't require a beis din. So therefore, it would be inappropriate for Chazal to start and say, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan, call get tzarich beis din." It's not a true statement. In fact, call get tzarich beis din. Some get and do, some get and don't. There may be other cases where there's not going to be any ksuba to speak of. Let's say we know.
Doesn't the Mishnah perikophily require say there is a ksuba by the samur and the
Oh, very good. Excellent. Your beloved Ben Azariah and the Chacham. Very good. So the Gemara at the beginning of the Tzi explains that does not mean you have to radik super. That means if you radik super, if you chose to radik super, then it will be binding mina erusin. And then the machlekes atanoim is it only binding vis-a-vis the 200, or is it even binding vis-a-vis the tosefis? Is there kind of a built-in understanding that the husband's not interested in adding the bonus until the actual marriage kicks in? But that's what the Gemara says at the beginning of Mitzia. But if you don't write it, you're not mechuf to write it. There is no requirement of having ksuba yet until the moment of the nisur. You can have other cases where there is no ksuba. Let's say we know for a fact that the woman was bezana tachas baila, so she's going to have to be divorced. She's a sula baila. There's not going to be any ksuba. She lost the ksuba already. She admits that she lost the ksuba. It's not even up for discussion. You can have other cases. The Mishnah says in Masechus Ksubas, there are other things sometimes if a woman's acting in ways, let's say the husband realizes that the wife is feeding him treif. She doesn't want to be from him. They got married, she's from him, and all of a sudden she decides she doesn't want it. And she says, I'm not keeping a kosher kitchen. So the Mishnah says, what are you going to do? How's he going to live with them? She's not keeping a kosher kitchen. So let's say she decides, I don't want to keep Tarsa Mishpacha anymore. So what's he supposed to do? And she says, I'm not arguing with you. I'm telling you, these are the facts. I don't want to be from him anymore. So the Mishnah says, what are you going to do? So he's going to divorce her. She's going to lose her ksuba because she did something that caused the breakup of the marriage. There's no detour. Nobody's fighting about it. She admits. She says, I don't want to be married to you anymore. I don't want to be from anymore. I don't need the ksuba anymore. So according to the Rivan, all of these kinds of gittin will not require a basis. Because according to the Rivan, the only requirement of the basis is only when you have a ksuba to reckon with. So that's what the Rebbe says. That's why the Gemaras, the silent Gemaras of 90 blood and gittin that never say that black and white, that every single get requires ksuba, was this Pashut not a true statement? Not every get requires a ksuba. That's why the Gemara opens up, wakes up, oh, even if it's a get in the Arusa, even if it's, there's no ksuba, the get proper requires a bezdin because of the farnecha farnecha, cute stars, etc. So according to the Rivan, we can understand why there's the silence throughout the Masecht about a bezdin, because it has to be assessed case by case. What about according to the Ozarua? According to the Ozarua, who is not part of that solid majority, but he requires a bezdin, not for the super tangential part, but because he understands that every single get under the sun is a mishpat. Wait a second. If it's mishpat, not so simple. If it's mishpat, so that every get objectively requires a beis din. So how come that doesn't appear in the Gemara? How come the opposite appears in the Gemara? If they come in Oistila, why does the Gemara wake up here about 2 and 3 day on him? Doesn't every get by definition require 3 day on him? So here, the Nogiba didn't have this part of the Azura. This whole snip of the Azura the Nogiba didn't have. But we, Bachshem, have the Azura. So basically, the Azura explains this follows. This is a throwback to the Tuesday night shiur. Some of the people come to both shiur. There's been a drop of overlap because here we're talking about Bezin, there we're talking about Bezin. There we're talking about Sanhedrin and referencing Gittin. Here we're learning Gittin referencing Sanhedrin. It's called Tarakul. It's Tarsim Tumir. It's the same Tarak. So some of the singers overlap. Chazar is always good. So comes the Ozeru himself and says, absolutely no question about it. Any and every single get with it, so without it, so before it, so before it, so with it, every get under the sun requires a beis din. How many dayonim make up a beis din? So this is, we've been talking about this in the Tuesday night show for the last 6 months. How many dayonim make up a beis din? So there are different batei din in halacha. Some din Torah require 71 dayonim. Adavar ha-gadol yaviu alecha, 71. You have a din Torah about the Kohen Gadol or a din Torah. You have a fight between two different shvatim, having a border dispute between two shvatim. So that requires a beis din of 71 to resolve that. Dinin nefashos, capital cases, require 23 dayanim. Dinin mamonos, so here's a little bit of a split. The Mishnah starts out, dinin mamonos b'shlosha, that's true. But according to some opinions, that's not always exactly true. What that Mishnah means is as follows. That mida araisa, not all dinin mamonos require 3 dayanim. Some do and some don't. That's what the Gemara distinguishes between gezelos v'chavolos and contrast to hodos v'chavos. Gezelos v'chavolos refer to, I stole something, I punched somebody, those kinds of dinim mamonos, we call it torts. Those kinds of monetary cases require 3 dayanim. Nothing more than that from something. Hodos v'chavos, give and take. I lent you $1,000, I gave you this item to wash, and now it's missing. We're trying to divide up a partnership. We got into a little bit of a fight. I think you owe me $100. You think you owe me $20. Those kinds of dinei Torah, what we call in English, law school contracts. Those, nobody's punching, nobody's beating, nobody's stealing. Contractual arguments between two parties. Those are what we call halacha dos v'avos. According to one opinion of the Gemara, which we may even pass tonight, because we saw last night, that min haTorah really only require 1 dayan. Tzedek Tishpa Rabbi Sechad, the Gemara quotes in Masechad, Sanhedrin of Yom Kavosh and Yochid, perhaps only require 1 dayan. Okay, that's not agreed upon by everybody. Others disagree, others say no. It requires 3 dayanim in HaTorah, but there is one valid view out there, which may even be the way we accept the halacha, that 1 dayan and 1 dayan is all that is necessary for Hodos Ravos. If and when we say that a get is Dinim Amunis, which model of Dinim Amunis is it? Is it the model of Gezelos v'chavolos? Is it the model of Hodos v'chavolos? That's a tough call. Is it Gezelos v'chavolos? I mean, we hope, nobody's hitting anybody. Nope, nobody's hitting, nobody's stealing. It's not going towards. It's probably a lot closer to the model of Hodos v'chavolos. Hodos v'chavolos means I lend you money, or we're dividing up a partnership. I sold you something. So we think about it, and we get obviously get in, and the break of a marriage is much more to it than that. But a marriage is, in a certain sense, a contractual agreement. There is a agreement which has impacts even on Dinim Amunos. Isha nicknames the Bailos. So there's a certain model of Dinim Amunos there. So the creation of the marriage is a certain kind of Dinim Amunos, and the dissolving of the marriage is a certain kind of Dinim Amunos. Says the Ozarua, one can argue that. Yes, absolutely. A beis din is absolutely no question necessary for any and every single get. How many dayanim have to sit on this beis din? One. If that's the case, that yes, a beis din requires a one, but you never really need 3 min haTorah for a get. So now I understand full well why there's silence in 90 blot in Masechet Gittin about a get. Every get will have one. Not only will have one, it'll have two. Because Eidei Mesira. You always have Eidei Mesira there. According to Rabbi Elazar, Eidei Mesira guy. So even according to Rabbi Meir, it's quite possible you'd have to have Eidei Mesira end of Shabbat Mishnah. So you never going to have a get given on a desert island. You're always going to have a bays in there. Not the bays that have three Rabbanim, the most of Shlosh that we're used to. But who said you ever needed that? So who says the Azarua? He answers all the questions in one fell swoop. He says, why does the Gemara wake up here before they come and know? So all of a sudden the Gemara talks about three. This is the only kind of a get that needs Mamish three, because this is Kim Shtaris. Kim Shtaris, but the Rabbanim needs three Dayanim. That's why the Gemara wakes up here. Why the silence in 90 blot? Because practically you don't need it. So you never ever needed a base in a third. So now we have all of a sudden three new sheets in Rishonim. Does the get require a base in or not? So according to the solid majority, no, it doesn't need any base. Eight of it needs it. Syria, but base didn't know that ever was, there never is any requirement whatsoever. According to the Rivan, yes, it requires a base in. What standard of base in? Three. Does it always need a base in a three? When there's a ksuba. When there's a ksuba, yes. When there's no ksuba, then no. According to the Zerua, is a machmer maker. According to the Zerua, it always needs a basin. But he watered down the definition of basin. Basin means one, and therefore, by definition, always going to have it, because by default, you always have Eidei Mesira. So conceptually, there were three shittas in Rishonim. One group says, you never need a basin. One group, Rishonim, the Rivan says, you need a basin of three if and when there's a ksuba, and when not, they're not. According to the Zerua, you always need a basin. But a basin is a joke. A basin is one, which you're going to have anyway. So we have three different opinions. The Gedolim have shown him what, if any, is the requirement. How do you define a basin? So let's show you next year. So we'll have to take this to the next step to see how this impacts other aspects of getting this.
Chris, is there anything else on that list in Sanhedrin that's absent?
I don't think so. According to the Zerua, it's absent because it's obvious. It's going to always be there anyway.